I'm just gonna try to wrap up the package that I ended talking about last week. I gave you a handout you should have. I hope you'll spend a little time looking at this. It's something that I've kind of put a lot of thought into it. And, you know, I think as we look at what's going on in America and what has happened, and I'm viewing it from the last 60 years. And so I'm doing another paper, and if I get that done, I may share that with you at a later point too. But this is the crux of it. And so I'm approaching this topic, and we'll get into it here in a little bit, from the culture. What's in our culture? What's ingrained in our culture now that seems to be destroying it, tearing it down in every different aspect? And so I'll briefly talk about that. On the back of the page is something I shared with you last week from Romans chapter 1. So you have that if you didn't get notes taken on that. So we'll begin with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into our discussion. Dear Lord, we thank you as always for this day, this opportunity you give us to come in this place, to gather corporately in your name, to study your word, to seek the guidance of your Holy Spirit who you give us, and we thank you for that precious gift that you give us, that the person of the Trinity that can come and live in us, can live in the believer, and so that can truly be our teacher and can be our comforter and our counselor and our guide through your word. We're not alone, Lord, in looking at understanding your word. And we don't have to rely upon man only. We know it is your word and it is the truth. And we seek to find the fullness of your truth in your word. So as we study Isaiah, I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will truly guide us and prompt us and encourage us and bring up questions in our own mind and to each other, and maybe share with each other our insights of what we've learned over the years in reading and studying Isaiah. So we thank you for this opportunity, and we thank you for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, but most of all, we thank you for Jesus, who you sent to do the work that you sent him here the first time to do, and that's to go to the cross and die and carry our sins with him to the cross, that we may be forgiven when we put our faith and trust in Jesus. And then he didn't stay in the grave, Lord. We know that. He rose from the dead. And so we have that ever-present hope of the resurrection and eternal life. And so we look forward to that. So as we study Isaiah, Lord, help us to see your plans for the future. Help us to see it throughout all your scripture. Thank you for giving us your sure word of prophecy that we can turn to and be assured that this life is not the end and that there is far more to come. As some look at it like a feast, dessert is still to come. And so, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to share your word. I just pray for the guidance of your Holy Spirit this day and always. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Let me just briefly talk about this handout I gave you this morning, and just trying to, you know, I'm always trying to put together what's going on, you know, what's happening, why is all this happening? You'll notice on item number 3, culture of dependency, socialism, I even brought it up to date. The Green New Deal has been put out there, thrown out there by the progressives, the far left, and you know, it's supposedly related to climate change, but they're covering everything. They're throwing everything into the works. And I'd say, well, let's just dismiss that. It'll never pass. It'll never pass in this country. I'm not sure this country has so changed to a progressive way of thinking. I would have never thought 20 years ago that we would be accepting homosexual marriage. I never thought, well, of course, abortion's been around for a long time, but authorized and approved abortion. So the things that have passed in You know, some of us would say if we've lived before them and since them, we'd have said, well, I never thought that would happen. So it is moving. It's moving in a direction, and I believe America is moving rapidly. We have Trump now to try to put the brakes on, but you know, he's being so ridiculed and investigated and scrutinized that you know, his agenda, or the agenda of the conservative agenda, may not have the fulfillment we would hope for. So anyway, I just kind of summarize this by what's our culture full of? And this is why I believe we're on the road to destruction, the road to judgment, the road to an end of America if we continue on this path. And go ahead.
Question, what does LGBTQ mean? What is that?
Lesbian,
okay.
Gay, okay. Bisexual, transsexual, and queer. And they've put the queer to it themselves. It's not a derogatory term anymore. The Q is put in there by that agenda. They proudly call themselves queer. And so that's what it stands for. Yes?
You know, that's our things right here in Yankton, because James was at McDonald's last night. Later he called me and said, Mom, do you know who I saw in there? He said, and he wanted to describe the individual, a man in dress. He said he had to be a cross dresser.
Yeah.
And it, so it caught him off guard.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, cross dressing is part of the transition,
but
potentially,
yeah.
But the real transgender
is where they
claim to be of the opposite
right.
sex from their birth mm-hmm. sex. But and some make the sex change, you know, obviously follow through on it. Yes?
I had a American happen to go to a bingo. There's these people that come in, and there's this guy that's been coming with a lady there. He's from Tyndall, and I thought he was in between my kids, and I got to talking to him, and something about Travis, and he thought he was Travis's classmate, but I couldn't remember him being Travis's classmate. Well, a week later, I'm talking to him, saying to Travis was coming home last weekend, and he says, where does he live in? Or someplace. There's a Travis, maybe somebody, you probably know his mother anyway, but he was great at his, and he's into designing clothes and stuff and different things. And he had him mixed up with that Travis. I said, please don't mix him up, because that Travis, there's a guy.
Well, and that's the thing, it's infiltrated our culture to the point you can't avoid it anymore. It's in your face. It's people are going to show up, people in your past, but you didn't even realize, and all those things are happening. So
he got it mixed up with Captain Travis. Yeah. Please don't compare it.
Well,
I think, Gary, I think that's a good point, because in my high school, we grew up with, we, you know, played ball together, we showered together, and had no idea till she came out.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just a shock.
Yeah.
Well, his sister, Tanya's classmate, they were good friends, him and his sister, but he always was a little different in school.
Yeah, so, but this is part,
it's okay now.
And what has changed, you know, over these last 15 years is the openness to it and bringing it out.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the Supreme Court decision, which is what I pinpointed to, has made it
mm-hmm.
all right.
Acceptable.
You know, it's acceptable.
Yeah.
It's legal. It's even preferable. You'll get some sense that that agenda is now a preferable agenda. And kids are being encouraged to make a decision early in their life whether they're, you know, gay or straight. And if they want to ultimately transgender, you know. And then it's gotten, as we know, if you just follow the news, it's gotten to the point that if a person wants to claim to be the other sex, the rest of society has to accept that. Just because even if they're still birthwise the other sex, and now we have it, as I mentioned on here, we have it with the bathroom issue. It's kind of calmed down a little bit on the bathroom issue, but it's still there, transgender bathrooms. We have, of course, the marriage issue, but now we have it even infiltrating the sports world, because we now have men who are born men that say they're women now, competing in women's events. And we know there is a difference between men and women by nature. And so it's unfair competition.
But now they don't even, now some parents won't even name their kid until the kid wants to know what they are.
Yeah, before it wasn't an option. You didn't teach your children that you could be gay or straight, you know. Now they are now teaching our children that.
Yeah. Now they won't even name their kid until the kid can decide what it's to be.
Yeah. They get to know about it.
So it's a full-fledged agenda, and that's why I put the agenda.
Yeah.
What the disorder is, I call it the culture of disorders. We jump down to that, and I call this whole thing the choices that are being made, and therefore leading to an agenda that's being pushed on the rest of us. Even though we know by God's own word that it's against God's ways. You know, and so we have to either just kind of accept it and turn away from God, or we have to resist it, and then we're called homophobes and everything else. And you don't want to be that, and so you don't want to be rejected by society. So it's a real dilemma, you know, for the Christian. For the Christian, it's really difficult because, you know, there's a lot of pressure to accept everybody for who they say they are. And now they've indoctrinated, just like with evolution. You know, you have evolution that's been thrust on us that it's scientifically proven. Climate change is the same way. It's now scientifically proven, according to them. And so everybody who denies it, denies that that's the truth, is called a denier. They're called a flat worlder, or other term, derogatory terms. And so that's the battle we're in. So. And the question is for each one of us, as followers of Christ, as believers, and trusting in God's word, do we believe God or do we believe man? And that's difficult. It's difficult to stand up against it because you're going to get pressures from within your circles, within your families, even in the churches. The churches have accepted, you know, that lifestyle for their ministers, many of them. And so it's in the face of God. And that's my reason for doing this. What are the things we see in our culture that are just like punching at God? And so let's just briefly go down through them. And I talked on several of these last week, but I tried to just kind of summarize the major ones, and there's six of them. The culture of death, and I talked quite a bit about how this has moved from legalization of abortion in 1973 to now, continuing to push it further and further into the life cycle inside the mother from the first trimester, which is considered by most people somewhat okay, you know. But now they pushed it into the second trimester, still okay, up to 20 months. And now they're pushing it all the way to the time of birth and after. And that's what when I call it infanticide, because it's moving towards that. Now, the public is not accepting that yet, to just kill your baby after the baby's even been delivered. And so then the question is, what time frame do you use for killing your baby? Can you wait till they're a teenager and they get out of control and kill them?
You know, second thought.
But just, you know, this stuff is crazy. I mean, it is absolutely crazy in the respect for life. You know, there's no respect for God's work and his life that he brings. So, abortion part.
I went on Facebook about a guy said, why can't I have my choice if I want to be born?
Yeah.
He was born. Oh, yeah.
Doing it your own way rather than God made you that way. Okay, second, and we don't hear too much about this anymore. We used to, particularly out in Portland or in Oregon, maybe a little bit in Washington, physician-assisted suicide. And it doesn't have to be a physician anymore. It can be all kinds of assisted suicides. And it's just people are tired of living or struggling, you know, in some ways. And some are in pain. I understand that, the pain of the people, and I feel bad for them. But they think that if they take their own life, you know, it's all over then. Because most of them, in my opinion, don't believe there's an afterlife. There's nothing to be held accountable in the afterlife. So assisted suicide, and then of course we know how mass murders have increased, the shootings in schools and elsewhere, public places. And, you know, the Las Vegas shooting a year or more ago never has been determined why he did it, but it's the biggest mass murder in America. And so that's happened just in the last couple of years. So, second one. Oh, go ahead, Don. Go ahead.
The assisted suicide.
Yep.
What was the name of that doctor?
Kevorkian?
Kevorkian.
Kevorkian. Yeah. Up in Michigan, was he? Was he in Michigan? Kevorkian?
Is he in prison?
Yeah.
Is he in prison?
Is he in what?
Is he in prison?
No, I don't think so. No, that's
or he did he die?
The one with the abortion.
That's Gosnell, that the movie's made of, that we talked about last week. Gosnell is in prison because he literally killed babies, you know, after they were born.
That was really quite
purposefully.
But they didn't.
And he we believe collected body parts for Planned Parenthood. So culture of demons. Culture of demons, again, this is something that's out of view of most people unless you're close to, let's say, a big city where this is almost out in the open, you know, occult meetings and dressed like witches and wizards and so forth. You know, you have a lot of desensitizing to all this because it's games. You know, I always talk to my 8th grade kids when I was teaching 8th grade Sunday school about this topic, because they're very susceptible to it. Things like Ouija boards, you know, and all the games, Dungeons and Dragons back in the day, and different games, Pokemon. Now some will really get upset with me if I say those are part of the occult, but you don't have to look far into what it is that you're trying to gain. It's all about power. Power from another source and not God. So, but you got astrology, you got people casting spells, you got consulting with familiar spirits, and those are not the Holy Spirit, those are demonic spirits. You got divination, which is fortune telling, you got incantations, enchanting. You even have, and we would probably not want to think about this, but there are human sacrifices that are going on in the occult, particularly babies or children. That's blood sacrifices that they then use the blood and urine for empowering themselves.
Where would that be?
It's part of the demonic realm. They believe if you intake the living part or the liquid from the person, you gain the power from that person. It's a dark side. It's really dark. But that is practice in the satanic ceremonies.
Approaches cannibalism.
Well, cannibalism is in the native culture primarily, but it's some would say it's part of their survival, but on the other hand, it's also a practice of witchcraft. Necromancy. Contacting the dead, you know, the psychics that will contact the dead and tell you what your grandmother is saying to you and all that kind of stuff. Witchcraft is the generally related to a female, witches, whereas wizardry is related to the male, but it's both in the category of magic and sorcery. So I gave you the list there. You can, whatever you choose to do with it, you can do it, but it's a study in and of itself. And that dark side, I think we were all a little surprised that there wasn't the occult symbols, at least that I saw in the Super Bowl halftime. Because I think, as Raymond said, I think the last 4 years there's been occult symbols in the halftime celebration. And so I don't know whether it's getting better in that regard or they've just given it a little time. The third culture is the culture of dependency, and I call that the big one that we see right now is so relevant in our political arena and what's going on in this country, what's going on in Venezuela, you know, all these things that are socialism. And I put under that, not that these things are entirely wrong in and of themselves. I mean, I believe we should take care of our planet, you know, recycle, you know, do the things that you can to take care. We're to be stewards. We're to be stewards of our planet. But all this agenda that they've trumped up, and I call it trumped up, that all this is caused by man, all the change in the weather. And so now they've gone from global warming to global cooling at one time to climate change, because now it encompasses everything. So you have these snowstorms, and you have tornado outbreaks, and you have hurricanes and all these things. It's all because of global warming. And what is global warming? It's their belief that CO2, carbon dioxide, released by man from the power plants and so forth, and even cows. I don't know if you saw the joke.
Yeah.
Cow fletch.
Yeah.
Flatulence is causing some of the global warming.
How do you teach a cow to be politically?
You don't, because their agenda is to get rid of cows. Yeah. It's part of the agenda. Get rid of cows, and then you won't have their flatulence. You know the word.
You're supposed to get rid of cows, and you're not supposed to kill them.
So, but, and then the other two I put on the list, and obviously the same agenda is pushing for universal health care. Now, we would say on the surface, yeah, everybody wants universal health care. They want the government to take care of our health care. You know, I think if you just take a vote of the public, 70-some percent, yeah, we want that. But then when they start telling you who's going to pay for it, and it may raise your taxes, may do all these other things, then it drops down to like 30-some percent that still are in favor. But the universal health care, which they're pushing part of this green agenda, Green New Deal, is to make it totally government controlled. And so when we give up our rights for our health, that's the end. That's the end of our free society. Because then they can dictate when life ends, when life begins, they can dictate every part of life. So if you become a burden on society, euthanasia. I didn't put that down, but euthanasia is the other issue up there with culture of death. It's kind of the assisted suicide.
What was that
suicide.
Movie?
What's that?
What was that movie? When you get too old to be taken. Is that the Soylent Green movie?
I don't remember. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah.
Was that concept?
Logan's Run? Logan's Run was another one. Yeah, so it is part, you know, of the plan of the One Worlders, because control of population is a big part of their agenda. You realize that abortion is part of that, homosexuality is part of that. How do you keep the population down? Because they believe one of the worst things and what causes climate change, you know, all this stuff, is overpopulation. So if you can control the population, stop having babies. You know, it's kind of working in America. You know, America's not making enough babies, and that's why this immigration thing is being pushed so much, because we need workers, and so we want them to come in to take those jobs, because white America particularly has turned away. Some of them not even getting married, not even having children, and so forth. So yeah, this is all part of the ongoing agenda. So, and then of course we know that with the Johnson administration, we started welfare, welfare and subsidizing people for not working and whatever. This Green New Deal wants to put people on federal programs who don't want to work. It's not just because you can't work. Now they're moving to anybody that doesn't want to work, let's give them a federal job that they don't have to work, but we'll pay them. So that's welfare. And
did you see on the news this morning where the soldier, they're trying to get him for murder?
Yeah.
Why are we putting up with that? Why do we send our boys to the front line, and then when they shoot a bad guy, want to put him in prison?
Yeah.
What is wrong?
I think that'll be overturned. It's just that it's ingrained in the systems. We know how bad it is at the top levels of law enforcement. Under Obama administration, We have all this corruption, and now it's still flowing over into this administration because some of those still have power. So within the different systems, the different part of government, there's some of this strong progressive agenda stuff. And so you go after the soldiers, those that put their life on the line. You go after policemen. You go after anybody who's, you know, in charge of taking care of our security, you know. And so, yeah, that's a prime case. But I think that will be overturned, and I think he will.
But the damage has already been done to his family.
Yeah, he has. Yeah, that's exactly right. So, but this is what we're going through. You guys are watching. You're watching like me, a lot of the news, and you'll see a story probably every hour on Fox or whatever channel you're watching. Some of the other channels won't carry this stuff if it's negative towards the progressive agenda. But so if you keep up on the news, you'll see how these things are just being bombarded at us. Culture of disease. You know, we've had epidemics and so forth in the past. Of course, AIDS and HIV kind of came out of the homosexual movement in the 80s. But they've done, you know, medically, they've done a pretty good job of almost controlling it and not curing it, but at least controlling it. So people, even though they come down with it, are able to live with it. So I believe it was God giving us a shot across the bow, but now he said, you're not listening anyway, so I'll pull that back. We'll give them a chance too. You have now, in my opinion, this is one of the biggest threats disease-wise to us now, is the homeless on the streets of the big cities. San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York, on and on. Because the liberal leaders of those communities are not doing anything to clean it up. And so they're, you know, you have all the waste matter in the streets. And now disease is filtering in. Typhus is being detected. And so this could become epidemic. You know, that if you don't know, the Black Plague of the Middle Ages occurred because of ticks, you know, that carried the disease and then passed it on to humans, and then it spread. And so all these things are threats. I'm not saying any one of these things necessarily will be the ruination of this country. I'm just saying look at the evidence of the things that are being thrust upon us. We obviously know about STDs, sexually transmitted diseases. There's been probably a little bit more of curtailment of that. Well, I'm not sure where that stands as far as the arc of how that disease is affecting our whole society. But it's obviously because of the loose morals that this all came about in the first place, and sexually transmitted diseases. Culture of disorder, and that's, we talked about that a little bit more, so I'll skip the LGBTQ and go to the mental health. And, you know, we're probably all familiar with family members, people that have some form of mental health. It can take different forms. The seven I've listed here are the primary ones. I think it's six. Anxiety, and you know, I fight that. You know, I don't medicate for it, but I've fought that most of my adult life, and that's, you know, you can say it's worry, but we all worry to some degree. It's a matter of how you control your emotions and your health related to it. Bipolar disorder. Fairly well known now. Two different personalities in a person. At times they have the highs and the lows, and it's usually medicated. Dementia's in this category. Now we usually think of dementia with the older group of people, just like Alzheimer's. And some of this, I'm not going to put it all in the mental health category, but it does lean over into the mental health. And it does require sometimes not only treatment, but institutionalization for it. Depression, it's probably the most widespread uh, mental mental health issue. And again, most of us fight some form of depression. We just have to, what do we rely upon? Do we rely upon our meds? Do we rely upon God and prayer and the other instruments God gives us? And then the more serious forms of mental illness are schizophrenia and other psychosis, which are all treated with.
And you could add autism. That's been in the news quite a bit lately, too.
Well, yeah, and that becomes the debate, you know, because you're born with it or believe you're born with it, you know.
Yeah.
But it is a mental disorder. So you're right. It could be added. It's just not in the category of one of the top six. So
yeah.
But it's there. And then the last one is the culture of drugs. And there we know alcohol and how destructive alcohol has been in our society over a long period of time. But we now have all the hallucinogenics, not only the cannabis, which now is becoming more and more acceptable and legally approved in Canada, legally approved in Colorado and Oregon and Washington and what have you. And probably at some point will be legalized in the whole country. But the more dangerous drugs, I would say, is ecstasy. LSD we don't hear as much about. We heard of it back in the hippie era of the 60s and 70s. Methamphetamine is still a very rampant drug, particularly in our culture here. When I've sat in the courtroom for other reasons, many of those people that came before the judge, you know, were controlled substance, methamphetamine. You know, and if you don't know about methamphetamine is a drug, it's with a mixture of chemicals that gives you, the first time you take it, this is what those who've been on it will tell you, the first time you take it, you get such a euphoric feeling. It becomes the greatest feeling you could ever have. And it's like, this is great. And so then they keep taking it. And then each time it gets less euphoric. And pretty soon it becomes they have to take more of it. And that's when you have all the things showing up. The loss of weight, the teeth falling out, you know, all the things. Yeah, sores and stuff. So it's a real problem and remains a problem. Now the next one I have on there, and I added it to this, because of the Colorado situation, if you've heard that on the news, they want to legalize mushrooms, you know, the psychedelic mushrooms. But supposedly they're claiming that it helps with mental illnesses. Anyway, they're claiming some benefit, and so they're trying to legalize it. But it just is another way of, supposedly when people get on the mushrooms, you have all kinds of weird things happen. It's kind of like LSD, but it's even crazier.
And that helps with the mental health.
Mental health, yeah.
Giving them hallucinogens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, opioids, we know how big that's been on the news and how many lives have been taken over addiction to that and the opioid crisis, particularly with heroin and fentanyl coming in through the southern border, and that's all part of the immigration thing too.
Did you see on the news this morning, Pocahontas was, you know, she's
officially running.
I don't know what city she was in, but Fox was saying that that is the city where it is like the most fentanyl in the world. What city was she in?
I didn't see it.
Right.
When Pocahontas announced Elizabeth,
yeah,
Warren,
yes,
announced her candidacy for president, what city did she do that from?
Anyhow, Fox was saying that city is known for fentanyl and all those big bad ones is coming across that border.
So this is real. This is real issues. This is right now. This is not getting better. This is accelerating to even more things.
You know, people have to be careful because after major surgery, sometimes they give you this type of thing.
Well, and that's what happens. Oxycodone is one of those.
Yeah.
You know, it is a great painkiller, but it's easy to get hooked on it, and then you know, it becomes addictive. So those are all things. Sedatives and solvents. The solvents is what you breathe, you know, huffing, the huffing stuff, paints and lacquers and so forth. And then you have the whole stimulant thing, and I guess this is somewhat repetitive, but you have the steroids, you have cocaine, you have speed, you know, you have all those different things. So anyway, and you can...
Can we leave this study school class on a happy note?
You
bet.
I love you.
Yeah.
I like her idea. You're so depressed.
Wow.
Well, that's I guess we're past time, so I can't even teach anymore in the grapevine, can I? In the vineyard. I didn't mean to spend that much time, but there's so much in there that...
No, that was important.
And
it's
I think,
real. It's
I,
real.
I think
it's
a lot, yeah, I think a lot of Christians tend to just put their head in the sand and not really look at, you know, what's going on. And then ask the question. That's all I'm doing is asking the question. What has happened to our country and what is God doing relative to it? Because on the back, is it too late for America? Is it too late for us to turn around? It's never too late with God, but... What are we seeing? Are we doing anything? Is the country doing anything? And so the signs of judgment or God turning it over, turning us over to those things because we desire those. And then the bottom line, which I didn't mention last week, but the best prayer you can pray is 2 Chronicles 7:14. And just pray that for our nation. It was originally intended for Israel, through the tribe of Issachar, I believe, and given by David's son,
Solomon.
I just taught on Ecclesiastes. My dementia's coming. anyway, our only hope is if we turn to that and fall on our faces and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, and he will hear us from heaven.
2 Chronicles 7:14.
It's on
it's
back
on
of that page.
My people who are called by my name.
Yeah. People who are called by my name. So, all right, we'll end with that. We'll look forward again. It gives you another week to look at the vineyard, look at the vine. Jesus is the vine. We're the branches, the fruit, and see how that, you know, fits with this Isaiah reading in chapter 5. So anyway, but I thought just because of the news and everything that's going on, we ought to spend a little time, you know, talking about what's happening in America. Because I think, as I said last week, the church has failed to stand up against these things, and we are where we are because the church has failed. And that isn't picking on anybody specifically. It isn't picking on pastors only, but it's everyone who calls themselves a Christian must do, even though it doesn't seem like much you can do, but do what you can. And of course, voting is one of the things that we can do and should do. So I pray that you will when the time comes for electing the right people. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. But we thank you also, Lord, for encouraging us to look into our world, to look at what's going on, to understand as best we can all the wickedness and evil that's lurking and out there and taking us in different directions than what you command. And so, Lord, we just ask for your forgiveness. We humble ourselves before you and ask for your forgiveness on our nation, as well as upon each of us individually. And we pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, will bring revival, will bring passion to the people that truly see what's going on and, you know, and the things that need to be turned around and stopped. Lord, it's not that we don't love the people that are caught in these sinful behaviors and these things that are against your will. And we're not condemning them ourselves because we can't. But Lord, we pray for mercy for them, and we pray for forgiveness. We pray that their lives can be changed and they can come out of the things that they're involved with, and they can seek your face and call upon your name. Thank you, Lord, for this time and that we've had, but thank you also ahead of time for our time of worship, and we pray for that time of worship that what you're going to bring before us through the different parts of our worship service, in prayer, in word, in message, and in every part of it, in communion, every part of our service, that you will work inside us, work from the inside out by the power of your Holy Spirit, prompting us to do what we can do, that our fruit can be known, can be seen, can be recognized. Help us to produce good fruit and not rotten fruit. Thank you, Lord, for this time we've had, and thank you ahead of time for a time of worship. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.